Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. We are delighted to have you in here with us tonight. Praise Yahweh, wherever that you may be downloading this on computer, or if you are on satellite transmission receivership, we welcome you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh and greet you in the lovely, magnificent, magnanimous, holy, righteous, powerful, almighty name of Yahweh, our creator, our soon coming deliverer to this earth that has become polluted with much evil. Well, praise Yahweh, if you are listening to us by the possible of the micro rebroadcasters, we welcome you, and you also in whatever township or hamlet that you're listening to us in tonight, praise Yahweh. And for you that are listening to us overseas in the foreign countries, we welcome you to the Shepherd's Call. We believe we got a good show tonight lined up for you. If you like Bible teachings, well, you'll love to hear Praise Yahweh, because we give you more scripture per hour than probably any other ministry on the radio. Now, why do we do that? We believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. That's why. So if we can build your faith into the fellowship of salvational territory, that's why that we're called to bring forth revelation for salvation. Revelation for the salvation. So let's get it on tonight, praise Yahweh. We're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and I'm going to begin at verse 24. Now, there is a flesh explanation here, and there is a spirit explanation. In verse 23, Peter got rebuked, and the Messiah even called him Satan. Now, was he addressing Peter as a satanic being, or was Peter's flesh man in the carnal in the way? I believe the latter here is the example. Get behind me, Satan, talking to Peter. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest that not the things that be of God, but those of men. A lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, we'll let our flesh, our conscience, defile conscience, or whatever, stand in the way of spiritual reality. We know deep down that we ought to buckle down and get about our Father's business and become a holy people and a purpose people, and return back to the fellowship and the calling, the high calling, that is, of the Father. Verse 24, then said the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, Jesus in the King James, unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, let me read that to you again. This is commitment, ladies and gentlemen. I see commitment wrote all over this scripture. Our Heavenly Savior, I'm telling you, when he came down here, he was about his Father's business. And I hope tonight you are, and I hope that you want to be. I hope you've got zeal. I hope you've got knowledge. I hope that you've got salvation. I hope that you have come into the realm of perfection. I hope that you have laid aside every little weight and sin that so doth easily beset you, and you run this race with patience, because you're going to need it in this line of work, praise Yahweh. For whosoever, verse 25, shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, that is a paradox of opposites of nature, or the carnal, or the flesh man. The flesh man would think in terms of preserving his life, and the spirit man thinks in terms of a reckless abandon. All systems go. Do not look back. Remember Lot's wife. He that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom according to the words here. And tonight we're going to go into phase two of the doctrinal approach. And we're going to discuss the doctrinal issues that we believe, feel, and know, we think, that is necessary to get you into the kingdom. Now, if we was to sugarcoat it, pull punches, and sort of skirt the issues here, and give you a smooth speech and enticing word, that would sound good for the moment, and we would probably take up a bigger collection. We would have a lot more support, no doubt, if we didn't, like I said last night, put ourselves in a box when we teach doctrine. You see, if you, the old saying is, if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And if you fall for everything out there today, ladies and gentlemen, there's a wind in the doctrine for every whim or every wish or every desire of human nature. I mean, if your flesh gets soothed one place better than the other, it means that you are pet-peeving your way into the fellowship, and you're there because it soothes or it entices you in some way that it appeals to your flesh man. Now, if you're getting cut and skint and bleeding, you know, a surgical surgeon with a sword, I mean, you know, with reckless abandon, full speed ahead, I mean, you know, you're going to get cut. The Bible said, woe to the pastors, the shepherds, the priests, that fail to bring blood. We're trying to have a bloodletting here that we may see the righteousness of the word and the obedience to enter into the kingdom. For the Bible said that obedience is better than any sacrifice that you could ever lay up. Verse 26, this is very important. We'll read with me if we will. We're in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, that gives me pause for thought there. I mean, I've got to really sit down and figure out the cost. Now, if I get in the cost factor here and really look that I can gain the whole world, it says, but what does it profit me? Well, I could have a Mercedes. I could, you know, I could Learjet across the country. If I wanted to cheapen the gospel and be one of those big-time ministers that are out there hawking their wares, soothing speech and enticing words, the earth is full of that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to die. I don't care who we retire to. I don't care how much money we got in the RA or CDs, you know, cash deposits. We can stack it and store it, mint it, and press it down and run it over and have all these valuables that everything is geared to, and then we could be lost. Man, I wouldn't, you know, if you think about it, eternity versus, like, say, 65 years. Let's say that somebody lives 65 years. That's my age at present. Man, I can look back on my life, and it seems like yesterday. Man, 65 years is a short time. If I'd have sold out the 40 years ago that I've been in the ministry or longer, if I'd have sold out then, think about it. I might have a big nest egg. I might have a, you know, I could have entered probably if I'd have entered the seminary, which I call a cemetery, to learn how to preach and to minister. I mean, I don't know about this game that the world plays. It just never did appeal to me. I mean, I take things serious here. I was a young man fasting and praying. Man, the more I fasted and prayed, the closer I got, the more I was rejected of the world, and the more that the world became obscene to me. I couldn't stand the world, didn't love it, didn't want nothing to do with it, and everything that smacked of the world, including the spiritual bell box and the traditions that they were teaching. Man, I mean, I was indifferent to that entirely. My spirit just grew sick of all this ear-tickling tradition they got going on. For what if a man loses his own soul? What if he does? Is there an exchange rate for the soul? No. What would you give, it says here? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? So, ladies and gentlemen, this is, you know, doctrine is very necessary. You say, well, Pastor Betty, if I believe your teachings, I'm gonna really narrow myself down to only but a few of us. There, straight as the word narrows the gate, and a few that be defined it. Do you want to be one of those few, or would you better rather go up there and have your back scratched with the many? We're not the many. We're the few. And I admit that we are only appealing our message. Only a few respond to our message. But the few that do, I mean, we had a brother out of, at this time he's living in San Francisco. And so he drove in the rain on a motorcycle out of San Francisco up to Porterville, California, all the way up there in the rain just to get baptized. This man was moved. This man was convinced that the doctrine of salvation was more important than standing at home watching the Lakers or whoever, or whatever. Playing Mama Peg or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine, that's what it's all about. Sheer guts and determination. Dogmatic principles. Take hold of the gospel. Hold on to it with all of your life. Do not let anything sidetrack you or detour you from your appointed destiny with the Heavenly Father who will give you the kingdom when he comes back. If you suffer with him, I will repeat now, if you suffer with him, then only and then only will you reign with him. If you suffer, you'll reign. If you don't suffer, you ain't going to make the trip. Because, you see, the Father chose these truths that would be hated and despised by the world and the system of the world, the Babylon system, the religious Babylonian system. I don't want to get into that tonight, but, man, there's one on every corner. I'm telling you, it is pathetic how that the dumb Christians, the dumb sheep, have been dumbed down to exchange their souls for sweet incense, smooth speech, enticing words, things of this nature, comfort zones, creature comforts. Well, where do you go to church? Oh, I go over here to the biggest church in town. Oh, that's nice. I saw it sitting up on the hill. Yeah, a city set on a hill can't be hid. We're the light of this city. We're the largest church in the town. Does that have anything to do with the Father and his truth? No, it don't. There may be one poor man in that city with the truth versus all the others there without the truth. What are you going to give in exchange when the Heavenly Father comes after you? You'll give an account. You will give an account. We'll get into the doctrinal stand of it tonight. We're going to express it for, let me give you 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Now, for future or for further reference, go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. I quoted it last night, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Read those particular verses in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and you'll see that the Son of Man is going to come in his glory, and then he's going to set up on the throne of his glory, and then everybody, every sheep, every one that is his, every one that should have been his, they're going to be gathered before him, both the sheep and the goats. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the goats don't make it in. I'm sorry. Two-thirds of Jacob Israel will be found short or found wanting, cast out into outer darkness. Say, oh my, Pastor Bunny, I've been told that if you're white, you're right, we're all going to be saved. Well, that's what you've been told, but that ain't what they can read. That's their assumption. Yahweh made it very clear that only one-third of Jacob would come through the fire as refined gold. The rest was purged and cast out as worthless salt. Yes, you can be salt, but salt can lose its flavor. You can be cast out and trodden under the feet of man right where the wicked's going to be. Why? Because the Heavenly Father, not the Heavenly Father knows them that are his, but he said, let every man that knows the Heavenly Father depart from iniquity. You've got something to do. You've got a doctrine to get into. It's necessary. It's required, I believe. And if you ain't in it, you're out of it. And if you're out of it, when he comes back, you're going to be eating and drinking with a drunk, and you're going to be judged with him. I need to say no more. When I say drunk, I'm drunk on false doctrine, drunk on traditional Christian worship, bell box mentalities. That's what they're drunk on. I ain't talking about a man that can take a drink of liquor and act like a man. I got more respect for him than I have of these sober Christians out here that ain't got enough faith to believe anything except respect for their pocketbook and support somebody that tickles their ears. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory with of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. According to his works. Now here's a very important preacherist scripture here that I'd like to throw in, verse 28. I'm going to read it all. Verily I say unto you, that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You say, well, if that's true, then he was talking to that generation. He said, there'll be some of you standing here that will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, when did he come, Pastor Buddy? Duh. Ladies and gentlemen, he came on the day of Pentecost. Now, while I'm here in the 17th chapter, I'm going to go to the day of Pentecost here just in a minute and show you the doctrinal aspects of the kingdom, how to get in there. The requirements, I believe they're required. Now, if you say, well, I don't believe that, I'll just take my chances. I don't have to do that. I just stay right here. I don't have to go do nothing that you say, Pastor Buddy. You got a bad attitude anyway, so we don't like you. Da, 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 da. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my attitude is I love you. But I have to speak hard things to you to stir you up. And if you're not obedient, if you're not willing to obey, then I don't believe you're going to make it. You can take your chance, but we'll see you at the judgment seat. According to Matthew 16, verse 27, he's going to judge every man according to his works. Now, why would he judge, if you're saved by grace and not by works, why would he judge you by your works? Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got grace, that means the Heavenly Father's in his presence, you're going to have works. That is a definite conclusion there. There's no argument there. If you've got the burning, it's just like the brother that got on the motorcycle and rode through the rain all day and all evening. I mean, you know, he could have picked a better time, but he just fell on the day he was to be baptized, probably to try his faith. I told the brother that baptized him, I said, now we'll see if he's got any faith. It's raining in California. Yeah, it does rain down there. I've never been there, but they say it rains and occasionally, but it rained that day. And the water was nice and chilly, and the faith of the young man was tried, but he came through in fine colors. You see, it's the doers. I'm preaching for a doer generation. We've sat on our haunches too long and the comforts of our couches with a tube that dumb tube turned on, and listen to B. Frank and all these other cranks cranking it out and soothing our flesh, and we get a double dose of Mr. Heen Wynn, and he blows on us, and we all hit the floor just watching through the TV. Man, what power. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to Christianity than what meets the evangelist's eye the day. There's something you got to do. You got to make a commitment to keep the doctrine as it was delivered by the Word. Now, let me go back to you, if you will. Let me go back to verse 18. All right? Verse 18. And I also say unto you that thou art Peter. Now, the word Peter means Cephas, which means stone. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, or my assembly. Church is a modern term. It's not really church anymore, the original Greek said. The ecclesia. I will build my congregation, would be a better word, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is Matthew 16:18. I will build my assembly upon a rock. Have you ever read the stone, the rock that the builders rejected, the saints become the head of the corner? Do you know they left out his divine, holy, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, almighty name? They didn't want to use the name, so they left out his name. Why? Why did they leave out his name? Because they sought to climb up some other way. You see, that's the old shell game here, praise Yahweh. They used the word as a shell game. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, here's the man that's got the keys to the kingdom. The door's locked. It ain't going to be opened until this man uses the keys. Where did he use them at in the Bible? Is it written in the Bible where Peter, the rock, the chosen disciple, is it written there where he is to receive the keys and to open the lock? Yes, it is, and that's why we believe in the doctrine. We're going to show you where it's at. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and here's the catch 22, the rest of the story. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Did you know some people are going to be bound and shut out of heaven? Hand and foot and cast out into outer darkness? If you ain't got on a wooden gun and you can't go. If you haven't obeyed the doctrine, you ain't going to go. So now, Pastor Betty, I've listened to these two-seat-line Christian identity preachers like you. And they tell me if I'm right, I'm right, and I'm gone. You're gone, all right, but you're gone the other way if you don't repent, if you're not into the divine doctrinal principles of the kingdom, and the keys has been using your lock. Your lock is locked, and it takes the keys, and nobody had them but Peter. And he had more than one. It don't say keys, it said keys, meaning that they were more than one. Now, let me give it to you again. You remember the scripture here. Whatsoever that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever that you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let's go to where Peter, the apostolic father chosen, his name itself means stone. Let's go in Hebrew. Let's go and see if we can find where that Peter used the keys. If we can, we've got a clue to the kingdom. Clues to the kingdom? Yeah. This is here from you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you better search. You better hunt. You better pray. I'm telling you, what are you going to do in exchange if you miss heaven? You're going to miss it all except hell, where the devil and his angels and all those that he deceived are there. Wouldn't it be agony to live with that rotten, low-down, fallen scoundrel? Now, let me show you some of the excuses here in Matthew 22 after we come back from the break, before we go over to the kingdom and see what Peter did. I want to really give you the keys to the kingdom tonight and tell you what you got to do to be saved. Pastor Betty, the shepherd's call. I'm coming back in two. You come back through, and we'll bless you with the word. Welcome back to Shepherd's Call, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a good one here tonight. We are in doctrinal response. You know, we got to respond to the doctrine. We got to become doers. We got to be positive seekers of the kingdom. But notice in Luke 20, or Matthew 22, let's go down to the fifth verse. After he said in verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They made light of it. They made light of the doctrine of what it takes to get to the marriage supper. Are you willing to go? Have you been invited? You say, oh yeah, I accepted the invitation about 30 years ago. Well, did you obey any doctrine? No, I didn't have to. I just signed the card. Preacher said I would. They picked me up on the rapture on the way out. Huh. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. It takes more than just signing a card or letting some kind of a spirit run up down your spine because you felt good. You don't go on feelings here, ladies and gentlemen. Feelings is not, it's not, it's nice to have good feelings, but feelings will deceive you. I'll give an example. Jacob felt like that Joseph was dead, but Joseph was raising corn and was actually waiting to feed him. So you can be deceived. I don't care how good you are, you can be deceived with your feelings. They made light, went for ways, one to his farm. What kind of excuse have you got tonight to keep you from obeying the doctrine? And the remnant took their servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Oh, you mean the servants of the righteous king that came down here to preach the gospel? You know why the Bible said? The Messiah said, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. Who's he talking about that's going to hate us? Jacob, Israel. They're the ones that hate. They don't want to hear this message. This is a return back to the Father message. This is a return back to be baptized. Now let's go over where Peter used the keys in the kingdom, and the first time that you can read where he used the keys to the kingdom was in the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now notice here, now verse 36. Therefore, this is Peter doing the talking now. They're all gathered at the upper room. They're all together. They've all been filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Yahweh sure, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, remember he's got the keys, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh Yeshua, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you, your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You can save yourself if you'll obey. You can lose yourself if you don't. No, I said, it's that simple. You want to go to the marriage supper? You want to make it home? Then you better obey. Listen what happened here. Then they that gladly received his word, verse 41, were baptized in the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Now, the apostles' doctrine here was, all of them agreed, Peter stood up and the rest of the disciples and said, repent every one of you and be baptized, water baptized, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you can go to heaven. Duh. He said, well, Pastor, but that's why I was baptized, so I guess I'm going. Oh, really? Let's go back and interpret that scripture in just a moment. Matthew 28:19, read with me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize. This is the Messiah's command here. He's talking to the apostolic fathers, Peter, James, John, and all the rest. where that they use the keys in Acts 2:36, 37, and 38 through 41 there. Here is the prelim here. They're getting their instructions. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Now, you've got to figure out the Father's name. It sure is not. It is not God. Or it is not saying Father. Well, see, the church world comes along. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't get no spiritual interpretation. They got no revelation. And they don't have the keys. So they can unlock the mystery right here in Matthew 28, 19. Here's one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible that I'm unlocking for you tonight. You've got to get baptized, not saying the name of the Father, but get baptized in the name of the Father. Now, that means you've got to figure out what the Father's name is. Now, when you figure out what the Father's name is, you got another dilemma here. You've got to figure out what the Son's name is. Then you got another dilemma. You got to figure out where the Holy Spirit is promised it would be sent in the name that he came in. All right, now let's go back and review that. The Father and the Son. Ladies and gentlemen, they ain't got the same name. We're in a heap of trouble here because we're going to have to get you wet two or three times here to get you in obedience to what he said here. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Peter singly baptized in the name singular. One name covered them all. Are you listening to me tonight? This is Pastor Buddy. We're talking about how to get into heaven. How to make it through. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so simple and so plain. It's hid from the wise because they look for these other big, they stand there and swallow a camel. They go Jake walking down through there, and they say it just like, well, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, the Catholic Church, that's the way they baptize. You say, well, I certainly don't believe in the Catholic Church. Well, that's the way the Baptists baptize. You say, well, I certainly don't believe in the Baptist Church. Well, that's the way the Church of Christ baptizes. Well, I think they've graduated up to Jesus' name. They have got a baptism. We'll give them the credit for getting up there. That's a step in the right direction. But they lack one thing yet. That ain't his name either. So then, what we've got to understand and what we've got to decide is what the Father's name was in the beginning. Exodus 3:14 and 15 tells you what his name is. If you'll study the Hebrew Scriptures, you'll find out exactly that the Bible talks about the divine name in the Hebrew. And so then, here it is, 6,823 times alone in the Hebrew Scriptures of the Old Parchment, his name alone was Yahweh. How are you going to get Jesus out of Yahweh? You can't do it. It just will not match up. So you've got to reconcile the difference between the name of Yahweh and the name of Jesus. You say, well, you misquoted that, Pastor Buddy. His name is Jesus. No. If I'm talking Latin or Spanish, I'm saying Jesus. And that's how they pronounce the name of Jesus. And that's how you would pronounce it in Greek. And let me show you how they pronounce it in the English in the original 1611. Jesus. Jesus. Same thing. That's how they transliterated the name into what you now have as Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a name that has got every Christian thinking he's going to heaven. Because he's in the right name, and he loves the name of Jesus. Oh, he calls on Jesus every day. Glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible true when it says there shall be a name that the world is so in love with that it would deceive the very elect? Are you sure that the Catholic Church, who is the promoter of Jesus, are you sure she's right? Because, see, all the denominational systems adopted that name. They admit she's a whore. She's a whore church. They admit that. She's proving herself on the earth today. She's full of pedophile homosexuals. And I warned you, ever since I've been on Truth Radio, I've warned you about the Catholic Church. The prophecies that I warned you about are now coming. explosions. They're just, it's old news. These homosexual pedophiles that they got in the Catholic Church. They are littered with them. They're entrenched in there so deep into the, even into the cardinals that is trying to cover this up in some way to keep them exposing themselves and cutting themselves off from the little altar boys and the victims that fall victim to them in this work. There's good Catholics in the church. I ain't saying all of them like it. There's good Catholics. There's good people that go to the Catholic Church. They mean good. They want the truth. They believe they got it. And yet they're going through one of the most horrible scandals, and it's very scandalous, and the Pope is trying to, you know, to do damage control. The cardinals are trying to do damage control. And ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, we're going to uncover the whore. You're going to see her as she is, and you'll know that she brought a false name and give it to all the Christian denominational world. They even changed the Sabbath. They ain't even got into that tonight for a doctrinal stand. Praise y'all. I'd have preached for about 2 weeks on this message. If the Father would give me enough time, I'm limited in time. And I appreciate the time I've got on Truth Radio, and I appreciate my sponsors, and I appreciate my supporters. I appreciate you. I really do. I need your help. We're on short right now, on Sunday night. I need to be there every night. Put Pastor Buddy to work. Put me on shortwave. Somebody's got some money. If you got money, let me use it for you. Let me spend it for you. What are you going to give in exchange? You can get in the whole world. You can take it with you. I just won't let you. It's against the law to bury you with your money, dummy. You know what I mean? I mean, if you had your whole casket full of money, somebody come along, write you a check and take it. They're going to let you out of here with anything. You came in naked, and you're going out naked, but if you come in here and put your money to the money changers and put it in wisely and spend it for the saving of the house of Israel and the truth, I just preach you the truth and not on water baptism for the remission of sins to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. It's marvelous, wonderful, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Don't you want it? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. Ladies and gentlemen, there's commands here. There's statutes to be kept. We're not under those things no more, Pastor Buddy. My preacher said we didn't have to do any of that. And I listened to you, and I got all excited, man, and I got trouble, and I couldn't sleep that night. I heard you, and then I wouldn't talk to him, but after I talked to him, he said, oh, don't pay no attention to that old crazy fella on the Truth Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, even the Internet radio is under attack. We have forwarded an email on behalf of all Internet enterprises that's trying to bring Truth Alternative Talk Radio, and Truth is the flagship. She's the Cadillac of the Internet radio industry. She's got her faults. She's not funded, just like I'm not well-funded. She's not well-funded, but she's doing the best she can, and we appreciate when we do get on, and when they do get our voice across the world. We're going across the world. Our voice, yeah. There's not many people that at this particular time that tunes in, probably. We don't know the count, exact count. But we do know that we are receiving mail from England, from Germany, and from Spain. By the way, my good brother in Spain, I greet him tonight. He'd be listening to me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Brother Gene, if you're listening to me right now on Truth Radio, Yahweh bless you. And hang in there, my good brother. Here's a man that came on a bird, a silver bird. He flew across the Atlantic just to get to the United States of America. Landed and came on his journey just to be baptized here in the Powell River of the mountains, hills of East Tennessee. Heard me on Truth Radio. Heard me on Heritage back then when we were on Heritage. Now we're on Truth. And we come in loud and clear there at 2 a.m. in the morning. Here is a devoted disciple setting up till 2 o'clock This man is he's a giant. He's a lovely man. He's precious. He's faithful. And he's committed to the gospel. Praise Yahweh. That's what moves me. That's what gives me purpose. That's why I keep on keeping on. And that's why that the kingdom is open to them that will come in and hear the word and do it. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me express to you other scriptures that we were talking about on what it takes for you to get to the kingdom of heaven. Notice that there's a sacrifice. Just like I was mentioning about the brothers that came with great odds against them. They spent enormous amounts of money. This one brother spent over $5,000 just to get here and back. Now, I mean, this man is not a rich man, and he was broke when he got home. But he wouldn't take $10 billion for what he received in his soul and his seal that was placed into his spirit being in the divine, magnificent, magnanimous, glorious, all-powerful, loving name of Yahweh. Oh, what a lovely name. What power, what glory, what honor for this, and the purpose is today to come and preach the gospel. Now, let me go back, and I'll close it out here in the last part of the Watchful Servants of Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to start at verse 30. Let me start at verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, most of the Christian churches are putting it out. They're dimming. They don't want no fire burning. They want one of these fake revivals. They want their coffers filled up. They want their east, west, north, south wings built. They want a steeple on every point of the compass. Oh, yes. But I am not come. He said, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I strengthened till it be accomplished? That's what Gene said, praise Yahweh, from Spain. I have a baptism that I need to be baptized, and I cannot be strengthened until I do it. Paul was on straight street when he got the revelation to go and let Ananias baptize him in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. Oh my, how wonderful this thing is. Suppose that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. You let the name of Yahweh come into the household and see if everybody don't gang up on him. Oh, no. Why? Because they'll hate you for his name's sake, Matthew 10:22. That's why. Why? Because he didn't come to bring peace. He said, I come to bring division. Oh, you see, Pastor Buddy. See, people call me a divider. Well, he's got an axe to grind. The other identity preachers, they're all in cadence. They're walking in step. But Pastor Buddy is the lone wolf out there. He's got an axe to grind against them. I've got an axe to grind against anybody who won't preach the Bible. I've got an axe to grind. I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to lay the axe to the root of your tree, too. I don't care what you are. If you ain't got the book, you're going to have me for a problem. I ain't come to bring peace either. I come to bring division. I come to separate you from your wife, your mother, your brother, your sister, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunts, uncles, and all your kin folks just to get into the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't love Yahweh good enough to separate from them, you probably won't make it because they don't want to go. From henceforth there shall be five in the house, divided three against two and two against three. the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. But notice it don't say the wife against the husband. You see, the husband's the head of the house, and if the tail, if the tail is in line, she'll follow the head. If the head goes to get baptized, then the tail will go. You see, that if you don't, we got a problem here. And that's what makes the problems here, because we are talking about division. We're talking about separation, praise Yahweh. And that's why that I preach the gospel. It ain't an easy sell here, ladies and gentlemen. It's a hard saying, and who can hear it? But let me tell you something. Remember Lot's wife, she looked back when she was told to flee to the mountaintop of Zion. She didn't want to go. She wanted to stay down there, for the town was wailing and the bright lights. They something she left down there, something she didn't want to leave, and she was headed back to Sodom when she got turned on with the fire that was kindled from heaven and turned into a worthless pillar of salt. Remember that, Jacob Israel. The next time that you want to justify yourself just because you're white, you better read a little bit deeper into the book, and you better repent. You better do those things that makes you worthy of entering in, for you find yourself forced out, and those who were not worthy will be coming to take your spot. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, if you've enjoyed the message tonight, I'd like to hear from you. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Praise Yahweh. We got a letter today from Allentown, Pennsylvania. We got a letter from Virginia Beach, Virginia. First time listeners, they caught us on WWCR. So we welcome them in here tonight. They will be listening to us now on Truth Radio, and we welcome them aboard. And our little congregation of Israelites are growing. That the praise Yahweh. Well, that's what it's all about. It's strong and unspeakable, and it certainly is full of glory. Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you want to go to heaven, you got to pay the price. Now, what's the price? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Pastor Buddy, Shepherd's Call, I'll see you Monday night, 8 o'clock on Truth. Sunday night, WWCR on 12.160 at 6 Eastern. And at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 3.210 at 11. We'll see you then. God bless you.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this crazy station.